Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 10:14 p.m. and that is Irish summertime, and today is May 26th. So there was enough of detail and a lot of action in the markets today. I thought I wouldn't give up the opportunity to have a little chat about it, and I thought that the reaction that we've seen from Rishi Sunak's announcement that there's going to be a windfall tax on oil shares in the UK was rather surprising. That most of the oil sector was in positive territory, so much more taking a lead from the oil price than taking a lead from the threat of taxation. Now, I guess some of the and more than likely, the devil will be in the detail because the headline figure is that they're going to impose a large multi-billion pound tax, but then it's going to be tied to how much investment in fact occurs. And a lot of these companies have been rather slow to green light investment in new production. So it's being viewed obviously with opprobrium by the oil sector. Nobody wants to hear about the reality of windfall taxes. But unfortunately, it's also something that the technology sector is beginning to have to deal with. Because when we think about governments, they're broke. They've got this rather large conundrum to deal with, that they've got rising inflationary pressures. They have restive populations. Those populations, the last thing they want is to pay higher taxes. And then you have companies like the energy companies, most recently, because oil prices have been on a tear now for 2 years and are really not all that far away from the all-time highs, and most particularly might break on the upside. And oil today is trading around the $114, $115 area and popping on the upside. So finishing out the day at 117. So when we think then about what this trend looks like, well, we had a wedging characteristic, and that sequence of lower rally highs was broken 2 weeks ago. And the succession of higher reaction lows remained intact. And that made it more likely than not that the breakout was going to be on the upside. And the breakout happened today. So that's certainly helped oil shares. And now the question, of course, is how will they be encouraged to reinvest in new supply? You have the Biden administration talking to US companies about restarting stalled refineries because gasoline prices are ramping higher. And that's, I think, going to be one of the primary challenges here. How do governments who have been placating a certain portion of the population? And one thing that I thought was, and I hadn't quite been, or I guess I hadn't been aware of just how forward or how progressed the plans for decarbonisation are in the UK. Whereas last night I was driving, we basically stayed in out near Stansted last night, and I'd driven from Stans from excuse me, I'd driven from Heathrow up towards Stansted, and we stayed in this old pile, a beautiful hotel. And in the car on the way up, they were talking about the consultation period to ban over-emitting cars from London or to charge them an exorbitant fee to enter the city. And the whole, but what I thought was particularly interesting was that it was called the climate emergency. And of course, that introduces urgency, that there's a very real feeling now that it's no longer good enough to talk about solutions, but rather that solutions are absolutely urgent. But against that background, where you have consultation periods that are being sponsored by government with the population, and then you also have still an acute dependency on fossil fuels. How do you square that nut? How do you really go around and talk to oil companies and say, we want you to invest in long-term solutions that you can continue to provide us with oil and gas? And at the same time, we're going to try and ensure that we're going to destroy your market. So there's a couple of mismatched incentives there, which would suggest that these companies are going to do the bare minimum to invest in new supply. So I've been really paying attention to companies like Petrofac and to the oil services companies generally, because they haven't really been moving. And they were in negative territory today because of this question about investment in new supply. So this is certainly a rather difficult scenario. But what we are starting to see, though, is the pound is getting better, or at least getting stronger. It's up now to 126 and change. So the dollar is starting to come back down, or it was at 126 before I started broadcasting. And now it's unwinding this short-term oversold condition. The big question, of course, is when we think about 10-year yields, they are starting to come back down. And there's obviously then this big question that remains outstanding. How high are yields really going, or how high are interest rates going to get before the Federal Reserve has to relent? So the Treasury yield is down to 2.75% from over 3% 2 weeks ago. And it's no longer as consistent a trend as it was before. This is a bigger pullback. Now, it may yet simply be a deeper pullback in the region of a big psychological level at the upper side of this decade-long range, but we're going to have to see clear upper dynamics in order for that to be the case. And so far, there's been an acute dearth of those. So we have to give the benefit of the doubt to further contraction in yields. And that very much supports the view that investors are now more worried about the growth than inflation. And I saw an article earlier on today, and it was talking about this tweet from someone who worked in a strip club, and it was to the effect that the strip clubs are empty, and they're a lead indicator for recessions because there's probably no better indicator of discretionary income. So then people were responding to that tweet and saying that some person was a mail carrier and that they are picking up fewer packages from, and they would normally have picked up packages. They would have had to take multiple loads, and now they don't have to do that from various shippers. So this also feeds through into the underperformance of companies like Amazon and Walmart and Target, that we're starting to see less demand coming through. Now, retail sales were better in here today. So it's not like the consumer is in total disarray, but this is also starting to be reflected in the bond yield, that the growth rate is starting to come back down, but not in a calamitous fashion just yet. And that also means that if there's going to be fewer interest rate hikes, should be beneficial for the growth sector, and they're very oversold at present. So Amazon is beginning to steady, and it might yet unwind its oversold condition relative to the 1,000-day moving average. And of course, that's going to be the big Rubicon, whether it can push back above it or not. The Nasdaq was up about 300 points in here today, so bouncing from the 1,000-day moving average, and it could easily push back up towards the lower side of the overhead trading range. But then the big question is it going to push up through at that 13,000 level? That's the first area of potential resistance. 14,000 would be the next one. And then, of course, the 200-day moving average will have come down by the time the index gets up that high. So it's probably going to be more like 14,000 is going to be the really big area of potential resistance here, following a reversionary rally. Then China is devaluing the currency again. We had a very brief period where it rallied over the last 2 weeks, and it's given up almost all of last week's appreciation just in the last 2 days. So this continues to look like an uptrend for the US dollar against the renminbi. And there's the strong likelihood that they're going to have to lock down Beijing. Now, they don't want to lock down Beijing, and it's obviously the administrative capital. And everybody knows just how much pain people in Shanghai have gone through. But they're not going to have a choice if they're going to remain consistent in how they are rolling out this COVID zero policy. So that's putting downward pressure on the renminbi. And then, of course, you also have the government telling banks that they should go out and lend more. But the big question, of course, for banks is also it's very similar to these sorts of misaligned incentives that we have in the energy sector. Because if the government goes to a Chinese bank and says, "We want you to go out and lend more," well, of course, they would probably say, "Yes, sir." But then they have to go home and figure out, well, who do they lend to? Because the technology sector has been under has really been under pressure. And all of that has been government directed. The property sector is persona non grata right now. So they're not really being incentivized to lend to property developers. And if you can't lend to the tech sector and you can't lend to the property sector, well, maybe they'll want to lend to the fossil fuel sector. But of course, China doesn't have large reserves of fossil fuels other than coal. And coal is also politically not a very viable solution either. So it's a very difficult situation. And the banking sector continues to tread water right down here at the lower side of this range. And there's been a distinct absence of clear upward dynamics. So the Chinese market remains in a difficult condition. And ultimately, we're going to have to see outsized, concerted, large commitments of capital to support the market. And so far, they've been pretty meager. And it's just not been enough to move the needle from the perspective of international investors. Now, when we think about the Japanese yen, well, it has weakened substantially. Then we had a good sized bounce with some risk off. Now, it's still holding here around the 127 area. We've seen some evidence of a flight to quality over the course of the last 3 weeks. So the yen rallied, yields contracted, and gold has begun to rebound from the $1,800 area, and then also holding so far at least the sequence of higher reaction lows. So it's now back in the region of the 200-day moving average. And it wasn't quite able to hold on to all of its advance in here today. I think that we are probably due some consolidation in the stock market, so there won't be quite as much demand for safe havens. The reason why we're due to have a little bit of steadier action in stock markets is because of growth becoming less certain. And of course, that's not ultimately particularly beneficial for the stock market. So, excuse me. Sorry, just had to sneeze. So, when we think then about this market overall, We're still in a bearish environment, and we have short-term oversold conditions, and they're being unwound in stock markets. We have short-term oversold conditions in gold as well, and it does look increasingly likely that it will be unwound, but it's going to have to push back above the 200-day moving average, I think, before people are going to be truly convinced of that. When we think about what's happening to European stock markets, well, if we think about the FTSE 250, it's a mid-cap index and generally has higher growth stocks in it. With the pound starting to recover, then we're also starting to see the stock market doing better as well. So this is a perfect example of how international investors are willing to support valuations provided the currency's in their favor. And as long as the pound is recovering, then that's likely to prove to be an attractive quality for our international investors in the UK. But it's likely to be the same for just about everywhere else as well. So we have a lot of political intrigue in Brazil right now because there's very active politicking going on ahead of the election. And the Brazilian real continues to strengthen. So it's bounced from the region of the 200-day moving average, and it's back in the region of the 1,000-day moving average, but it's a commodity proxy. So with oil continuing to push on the upside, then that is beneficial for the Brazilian real. Now, they've obviously taken some time to think about how they're going to control inflation. They've been raising interest rates aggressively, and then they're also targeting Petrobras. But that will, I think, we'll have to see if Lula wins the election. Because so far, Bolsonaro has been loath to intervene. That Petrobras has had three CEOs in the space of 12 months, and obviously, the market price of oil in or of gasoline in Brazil is becoming a politically a driven market. And we've already seen that the UK, which is a conservative right-wing government, has introduced a windfall tax. So for an administration like Bolsonaro's, it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that they might go the same way, and certainly if it means winning a re-election. So the Brazilian or Petrobras has been pricing that in already, and they had the big downward dynamic earlier on this week, but the price of oil continues to rise, so it's lending it some support, and of course it has that record-sized dividend as well. So we're certainly in an interesting environment where there's a lot of questioning going on about whether this is a big value opportunity and whether one should really jump back in and buy the dip. But buying the dip would very much be predicated on whether it's advisable to bet against the Fed. And the Fed has not said they're going to raise rates by 75 basis points. That was the big message that people took away from the minutes yesterday. But they didn't say that they're not going to raise it by 50 basis points the next 2 months in a row either. So then one would have to be betting that they're going to slow it down to 25 basis points and that they are probably not going to do anything other than that afterwards, that they might be up to 2% and call it quits. Or then think about maybe that's about as high as it's going to go. But I think the market is in a bit of a show me environment right now. And that would suggest that we're probably not going to get much more than unwinding of short-term overbought conditions before we start to see, and I think to get more than that, we're going to have to see some clear movement by the Federal Reserve. I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.